Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? A slow day in news. I mean, I was like, what do I even title with? Not much is happening. So we'll be reviewing whatever is happening, and we'll also do my garden review because there was a super chatter who said that my garden was awesome. So why not use the opportunity to make an update on the garden and the current plants and how they grow. During the night, someone sent a super chat. Tall Kid says, my girlfriend's DNA test says she is 7% indigenous American, but otherwise European. And I am 100% European. Would our babies look mestizo or Aryan? I have blonde hair, blue eyes, and she has brown hair and brown eyes. I want my kids to look like me. Listen, 7% is very small. 7% will dilute itself to 3.5% on average in each of your children. 3.5% is close to the point where eventually your grandchildren, some of them might have zero indigenous genetics. Simply because if you dilute by half and half and half, eventually one of the chromosomes gets completely kicked out and it was the only chromosome left with any trace of this ancestry. So keep in mind that 7% is extremely low. Now, as to how your kids will look, the prediction would be that her brown hair, brown eyes will be a dominant trait. But that doesn't mean that she has two alleles of this. Perhaps she has one allele of blonde hair, one allele of blue eyes. It didn't express itself into her because she has the dominant allele, but it's possible that some of your children will have blonde hair, blue eyes. That being said, the most likely scenario is that most of your children will have brown hair and brown eyes. As to how your children will look like, you have to make in your head the cross between you and her and dilute each of the particular components by half. Basically, your children will look somewhere in between you and her, and there are certain features for which her features will be dominant. There are certain features for which your features will be dominant. In the end, I don't think that 7% is a good argument for rejection. I think that if you have an otherwise great relationship with her, I would definitely reproduce with her. Dating doesn't get easier. Dating doesn't get easier, and the more you age, the worse girlfriends you'll have. In the sense that unless you're in a special situation like me, where your popularity rises and your wealth rises through late adulthood, for most people, they will be stuck dating lesser and lesser partners as they age. So don't lose the opportunity of having a good woman if just because of 7%, that you should consider other factors. That being said, if it's so important to you, well, then I would argue you should filter this at the beginning of relations, not when you're in the relationship. All right, so if you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey regular chat. The Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy, and if you'd like to support the show on a monthly basis, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar. The links to all of these are in the description below. Let us start with our garden review. So my little building for storing logs is still doing good. It has now undergone two periods of rain, and it keeps the wood very dry. I haven't had penetration of water, and so I'm satisfied that my building technique, which I came up with myself, and I decided to build it like this, it was my plan in my head, it seems to have worked. The water is well expelled and doesn't seem to be penetrating the building, although I did buy some borders here to ameliorate the way in which water flows off the building, because for now I've seen it in the rain and it's relatively anarchic, and I'd like to give it a little more structure. I've increased the volume a little bit. Let's see if that improves my voice. That should be good. Is the roof flat? No, the roof isn't flat. The roof is a small angle. So just enough so that in the winter I can go and remove the snow myself. It's not an angle that's acute enough that the snow would remove itself, but it's an angle that I can easily slide snow off of it during the winter. All right. And the raised bed is doing absolutely awesome. The lettuce is thriving. We have here a little splint of spinach that comes out of barely the space that it can get because the lettuce have been growing so intensely. Beautiful. I didn't know that spinach was doing these things where I didn't think of spinach as a full plant with many leaves, but that seems to be what it does. James says, I've never been jealous of a shed before now. Very nice. I'm glad. I'm glad that my shed is making people jealous. Pattern Recognizer says, yes, nice shell, good stain. Yes, this is something I learned about and I was never thought about. I had to basically stumble upon it. And it's a hardware store woman who said to me, you want to try this for your decks and greenhouses. It is semi-transparent stain. So it, there's kind of the, you can have a fully transparent kind of, I don't know what would be the term, we say lac in French. It's like a fully transparent liquid that you put over the wood and that protects it. And this, unfortunately, doesn't allow you to control the color of the wood. And paint, on the other hand, paint will fully cover the color of the wood, and it will also create easily crispable chips that eventually fall. What I found is that semi-transparent stain penetrates the wood, but is semi-transparent, so it leaves the features of the wood to be seen. That's why you can still see some of the nodes in the wood. You can still see some of the structure, and the general personality of the wood comes out through two layers that I've done. So if you do only one layer, you actually see more features of the wood, but you protect the wood a little less. I've done two layers because I want this to be fully sealed for handling big rain and the winter. So lettuce is going extremely well. Spinach, of course, my goal is not to farm much spinach, but I had 8 seeds of spinach left over from a previous year. So I thought maybe I can multiply the seeds by letting them grow into full plants, and I will harvest the seeds. Mark says, Jeff, what are you using the wood for? Oh, the wood is used for heating in the winter, and especially when the heating oil prices are increasing, we switch to wood because wood has not gone through as much inflation as heating oil. Heating oil in Canada has more than doubled in price in the last 3 years, and wood is just a little higher price than it used to be. So somehow the wood producers haven't been affected yet by inflation. That's another spinach plant coming out from the lettuce leaves. That's the rosemary. Look at this. It's going to be beautiful and tasty. A beet, not fully grown into a beet yet, but we have the branches stemming out. Beautiful big lettuce. I harvested one of those already. That's my second one that's coming. The fact that I removed the other one will allow it more space to grow. Here I have some mint. Beautiful little mint plants. Plenty of parsley coming out. plenty of cilantro here. And the cilantro I've harvested 2 times at the bottom, but then I decided to let it go to seed so the cilantro will fully produce the seeds that I can then use next year. Here we have some basil, some beets that are growing, more beets. Look at this beautiful beet right here. Boom. That's going to be good. Beautiful beet here. Some more parsley. Here I have my little peach tree going well, but it's its first year, so it's not expected to grow much in vertical directions. Here we have the huckleberry, very productive plant, but the berries taste like shit. So it's too bad, but you know, it seems like they seem healthy. So it's great that this plant was productive, but you don't want to make yourself big ideas about making this the main part of your meal because it's disgusting. The blackberry plant, which had a long branch that died, it's now reborn from the base, and I hope that it will start producing next year. In my raised bed, I have my most late planted onions, so not still consumable, but they are growing well. Here you can see green onion under the soil. This one could be harvested anytime I want it. Arugula, absolutely productive. 2 trays of big arugula. You can harvest each of these leaves and make salads with them. They are extremely tasty. Here from the lettuce, we can see 2 plants of spinach trying to grow out of the little space I left them. They are fighting for their lives. And that's another type of lettuce than the ones we've seen. This is more like a head lettuce. This is more like this is more something that will become a big ball. Whereas the others, they produce leaves and heads. James says, I'm surprised you can go peaches where you are. Most peach trees in New York die from the cold. Yeah, those are very specialized breeds. There is only one species of peach that can be done in our area. And even then, you know, it's not necessarily recommended, but we're trying it and seeing if that works. We have parsley here, a little spot of parsley. More lettuce, head lettuce. This is our pile of compost. I've harvested the compost once at the beginning of this year, so it had 2 years of accumulated biological matter. Now this one compost has been starting to build up from the lawnmower and kitchen leftovers, and it's becoming, although at the surface it seems not to be active very much, if you dig with a shovel inside of there, it's all dark soil, ready to use. So we've just put some fresh leaves on top of it, but it's getting good and it will probably be used next year in the spring as I set up the greenhouse for the next season. Here we have another peach tree planted this year. Another experiment, if you will. We'll see how it goes. We have our raspberries that have been growing and spreading. Absolutely beautiful. I already had 2 harvests and there are still some beautiful raspberries coming out and becoming red progressively. The blueberry is still not produced. After 2 years, the blueberry is just growing. Those are the leaves of the blueberry right here. We'll see how it goes. This is the cherry tree. This has become massively high. Unreachable to the human hand, and it's been producing a beautiful cherry that I ate on the show. Rhubarb is kind of weak. I think it's getting eaten by insects, but I'll get some branches of rhubarb at the end of the season, hopefully it doesn't just die. But yeah, rhubarb has been, it's this plant is its first year, and this plant it's its second year. So hopefully they will grow underground and eventually spread all over. Our black currant is continuing to grow. Look at these generous fruits, black currants, very good. Not as good, not like as simple to eat as a blueberry, but very acceptable to eat and very healthy, as Mama JF was pointing out on another show. That's another black currant with fruits hidden under the leaves. Black currant. That's our red currant from this year. Not fully grown, but I'm going to leave it there. And next year it should be producing fruits, I guess. That's our hazelnut bush. It's growing heavily in all directions, uncontrollably. Another hazelnut bush lost in the jungle of the rest that I didn't clean out. I think I'm starting to be due for a chainsaw massacre in my garden. The peach tree, oh my god, this one is doing good. It's doing so good that it fell. The little bamboo stick that was holding this peach tree straight up, eventually it gave up. You can see it. It's kind of diagonal. That's because the peach tree, the pear tree was pushing too hard on the bamboo stick, so I decided to use a broom. A broomstick that's larger diameter, I can plant it deeper, and it holds the tree stronger. That is a much stronger base to continue growing this beautiful pear tree. Another beautiful pear tree, this one is still holding up to a bamboo, but it might need the broomstick treatment eventually. The black walnut is flourishing in all sorts of directions. Most of these branches are useless to its growth, but at least it's getting the sun, and so I'm leaving it like this for this year. Another black walnut that was a little less lucky in the lottery of getting the best sun exposure spots. This is the black walnut that's in the worst place of my garden to get sun, so I don't expect it to grow too much. This is an apple tree. And my god, look at the growth this year. I think it had two shots of growth this year, so that's the most recent shot. And then this is already lignified, but it's now very high. It's going very, very high. Another apple tree that is doing extremely well, sending too much branches in all directions. That's a pear tree. That's one of the slowest growing because it has not yet decided to grow vertically here, but I would suspect that next year it's going to form some new branches. Another apple tree, a plum tree here, plum tree extremely big. This one is going to need a broomstick probably also. And a field of onions and potatoes. Beautiful yellow onion. This is halfway through, basically, its growth. It's half the size I want to get them to. Look at a green onion, fully mature. This one would be ready for harvest. A red onion, half size of what it can become. And the greenhouse is doing well. The Swiss chard is becoming very big. Look at this. This is a garlic plant, and it has the garlic plants here, here, and here have produced these garlic flowers. I don't know, will there be seeds in there? I've never seen a garlic flower, so I don't know how it's going to turn out, but eventually, I guess when I feel ready to, I will be opening these flowers and see what's inside. Are there seeds? Can I create more garlic? Because the way I've been reproducing these garlics is by harvesting a part of the bulb and replanting it. But I'm sure the garlic also has an option to grow by seed. And so perhaps that's something I will consider. We have a beautiful cucumber plant right here. That's the cucumber plant going in one direction, and then we have another one going in this direction. We have some Swiss chard here. Swiss chard. We have beets here. Look at these gigantic beets in the soil. We have our tomato plants also. And look at this, they have started to produce these beautiful little tomatoes. James says, first time seeing your garden all year because 95% of the time I watch your show in MP3. Looks really good. Yes, well, I'm glad you are now watching in video. That's more beets. And I don't know what happened with this line. I think some animal came and destroyed everything. But it was a line of beets. I have this new system based on clothing ropes to straighten the tomato plants. Here we have some more tomato plants. They don't seem to want to become very big, so perhaps those are my determinate tomatoes. They will produce some miniature tomatoes, cherry tomatoes. And this is so beautiful. I mean, it's like out of an anime cartoon drawing. It looks like it could be the evil monster in some anime. But it is the kale plant that had survived the winter. It had developed leaves in at the beginning of the summer, but it developed these leaves only to flower. And the flowers eventually got pollinized, and it became these kind of bean-like structures. And I've just let it dry in place, you know, because the more you let the plant in its natural configuration, the more it will dry with all of the energy stuck in the seeds. At this point, I think it would be ready for me to take all those beans and get all of the individual seeds that are lining up inside the beans. I mean, I'm gonna have infinite amounts of kale seeds. This is amazing. Here you can see some squash plant progressing in this direction, some cucumber plant here, broccoli. You can see a cucumber being produced already right here. James says, I didn't know kale was a perennial. I mean, it just survived the winter. I don't know that it's considered a perennial, but it survived the winter for me. And so I decided if it survived the winter, I'm gonna harvest its seed and I'm gonna genetically select it for surviving the winter. And eventually I could make it into a perennial officially. So that's my thought with these beans. Broccoli plant growing. You have a little beginning of a broccoli right here. I've already harvested one broccoli somewhere in the greenhouse. That's another one that's just starting to grow. You have a cucumber here. You have a sage plant here. We're gonna have plenty of sage. This one also is a survivor from the winter. So see, it's not about a plant being a perennial. I'm sure sage is not considered a perennial, but it survived the winter. So if it survived the winter, you wanna benefit from it still. Here, that's a garlic plant. Below the soil is probably a beautiful clove of garlic waiting for me. here we have some tomato, beautiful little tomatoes, and look at this. Perfectly round beet. I love it. I don't know why it makes me laugh. The configuration of this round beet, it's beautiful. This is going to make a lot of leaves that we can eat in salads, and then then we can roast the beets. Those are the strawberry plants. They don't produce much anymore. They've been producing mostly at the beginning of the summer. So at the end of the summer, they just continue to live as plant, and I guess they prepare themselves for next year. Here I have my pepper line, and only three plants of pepper have survived, and they're starting to flower. So we'll see. Pepper has been extremely hard for me to get to survive. I don't know. There's some condition in my soil, in my temperature, I think, that the pepper plants have difficulty with. But I'm getting better at it every year, and one day I will be able to farm pepper plants. Those are some of the little peppers and developments here. Hopefully they become massive peppers that we can harvest. And that's a bunch of zucchini plants, little zucchini showing up right here. And that's one harvest that I had today because an animal has started to attack our potato plants and had started to dig a couple of potatoes out of the ground. And so I decided to sacrifice some of these potatoes because, well, to harvest them in advance, basically, because the animal had made some damage and had uncovered them. They were not in the soil very much anymore, so they weren't protected. So I decided to harvest them already. And I also decided to harvest 5 or 6 green onions that had reached full maturity. So that is it for my garden review. I'm very proud of the production. I think it's getting better every year, and we are eating more every year from the garden. We have lettuce to the point where I don't know if we're going to be able to eat it all in time before it goes bad. And so that's already a very good start when you have a healthy vegetable like this that you have in massive quantities. Spanish prosecutor asks for 8-year jail term for Shakira. So apparently Shakira, who is a superstar of music, has been prosecuted for tax fraud, wouldn't have paid her taxes between 2012 and 2014. Her excuse was that she didn't live in Spain for these 2 years. Those are tough questions legally. If you go out of Spain, are you still bound to pay taxes in Spain? It all depends if you want to return eventually, because if you do return, eventually they will be holding everything against you. If you disappear from Spain and you never come back, that's a stronger point that justifies not paying taxes anymore. But honestly, the legal reality around this is extremely unclear. And I'm not surprised that people are confused, because I was in the US for 5 years and I was totally confused. I'm getting my salary from the government of Canada. The government of Canada wasn't taking taxes from it. And I was like, you know, the US barely knows that I'm here. Who do I pay taxes to? I was confused, and it led me to actually for 3 years, I had no tax returns filed. And eventually I decided to return to Canada. And then I said, all right, I'm going to do all of my tax returns retrospectively, and I'm going to do them all in Canada because I know that I don't intend to go to the US anymore. Twitter censors all content from the Epoch Time. The social media company must explain itself for this outrageous act of censorship, Senator Marco Rubio says. Well, I don't think we can ask for explanations by Twitter anymore. You just have to understand that Twitter is a machine to be censoring all sorts of viewpoints as long as they are perceived to be sympathetic to the right in general, or whatever is not being a Democrat. So Twitter has done it with us. It's now doing it with Epoch Times, which basically is a very, very tame outlet that is mostly Chinese in terms of what it's concerned with. So there's really no reason to go after it. But Twitter did it and is now labeling all links as spam or potentially malicious. And that's the beginning. Of course, they start with this, and eventually they start banning the accounts that are retweeting these spammy links. But the people you are banning are people like me who, you know, I'm using links to BitChute, Odyssey, because those are the only places where free speech remains. And so eventually the algorithm finds you guilty of of exchanging links from a bizarre website, of not being normie YouTube enough. China accuses White House of lying about Biden bringing up genocide and forced labor with Xi. That's an interesting claim because the White House had been saying, you know, to look tough in front of their leftist base. They had been saying, oh yeah, we've been talking to Xi Jinping and we've been tapping his wrist and saying, stop the genocide, Xi. And China is saying, no, they didn't talk about this at all. I would love to get the recording of this meeting. Was there some video or audio recording? Because then we would have the definite proof that the White House of Joe Biden is lying. Not surprising in my view, because you have Joe Biden, who's probably not personally incentivized at hating China. And yet you have China that is doing things that are alarming to leftists, and they don't like the idea of voting for a guy who supports these people because of the supposed genocide or forced labor in Uyghur camps, which I don't have a strong position on. I don't know to which extent it's war propaganda or a reality. But in any case, it's interesting to see that China is going public and saying, no, they're lying. They never talked to us about genocide or forced labor. It never happened. NDBL says, you can't lose the Taiwan war if you side with the CCP. That's one position. If the only thing that dictates the side that you take is who wins, then yes, probably we should side with China. There's an amazing progress at Gab. Andrew Torba is announcing that he is putting the final touches on Gab Voice, our Zoom alternative. I had a great time testing it out live with about 60 of you the other night. This is going to be such a fun product where we can connect and have actual conversations. You can use this product for church, homeschooling, work, streaming, or really whatever. Excited to see how you guys will use it. This is fascinating because much of the Bloodsport era was made possible because of the ease of use of Google Hangouts. And eventually Google Hangouts got discontinued. Why? Why, when it was a growing industry to offer these places for discussions to happen, and Zoom has been collecting on the growth of this industry. Why Google got out of it, I've never understood. Probably because of what we were doing with the Google Hangouts, to be honest. Probably because people eventually understood that the blood sports debate were happening on this platform. But if Gab comes with its own version of this, I find this amazing. I think it could be a game changer. And Mark says, JF, no more excuses for not having guests. I mean, we definitely, that's the kind of context in which we could have massive discussions reappear, debates, that kind of things. Now there's the question of, still, if you invite someone on Gab Voice, you're gonna have the problem of, is it getting restreamed on YouTube or restreamed on Odyssey? And if so, the guests are still going to be violating some of the rules of these platforms. But there's the possibility of just being on Gab Voice, probably, because if I understand correctly the platform, Andrew Torba was here speaking with other speakers, and there were a bunch of people who were just watching. So if you can have people just part of the audience, this is a very interesting possibility. And with Gab, you can be sure that you won't get kicked for having a political opinion. Russia is plundering gold in Sudan to boost Putin's war effort in Ukraine. They tell a very long story, but basically it's the idea that Sudan has been targeted by Russia, and from just a few days after the Ukraine war began, they were pulling out planes out of Sudan carrying tons of gold toward Russia. Interesting that it may be part of the war strategy of Putin to be collecting some natural resources in Africa. Supreme Court Justice Alito hits back at foreign critics of abortion decision. Alito mocks the foreign critics who denounce the Supreme Court ruling to overturn Roe v. Wade. In a speech, he talked about Prime Minister Boris Johnson talking against their decision. He says, "I had the honor this term of writing, I think, the only Supreme Court decision in the history of that institution that has been lambasted by a whole string of foreign leaders who felt perfectly fine commenting on American law." And he made a joke suggesting that one of these was the former Prime Minister Boris Johnson, but he paid the price. Of course, that was a joke suggesting that maybe Boris Johnson got fired because of this, but it's not because of this. Art, what should we do with it? These people are making a live performance art. They are progressively falling on the trampoline and apparently create a time reversal effect by jumping back onto the stairs. I don't know. It's a lot of work for just a couple of people passing by and seeing it. It's an art that requires 3 employees full time to execute. I don't know. Someone sent me this call to a gender clinic in Ontario. That's from 2021. Interesting. I mean, it's just a woman who calls to a gender clinic just to show how easy it is, and she just tells the story of having a child, and her child wants to transfer from a female to a male, and her child is 12-year-old, and the gender clinic seems very open at welcoming him for the gender transition. Interesting. Somehow it has just 39 views and it's 2021, but interesting that it happened. I didn't learn anything special, just that, yes, these gender clinics will respond on the phone and they will welcome a new customer. Here in this case, it was a fictitious mother wanting to bring her trans kid. Jack has been tweeting a little bee, and Seth Dillon is interpreting this as a calling for the return of the Babylon Bee on Twitter. I don't think that it has to be the Babylon Bee that returns to Twitter. I think that Twitter should either fail and disappear or become a platform for free speech under Elon Musk. But can he do this? I don't know, but bringing back the Babylon Bee is would be a very small accomplishment. Bernanke was wrong. Yesterday people were telling me, "Jeff, you should watch how Bernanke was wrong," because before the crisis of 2008, he was found in the media multiple times denying that there would be that a crisis was coming.
Ben, there's been a lot of talk about a housing bubble, particularly, you know, from the Fed, from all sorts of different places. Can you give us your view as to whether or not there is a housing bubble out there?
Well, unquestionably, housing prices are up quite a bit. I think it's important to note that fundamentals are also very strong. We've got a growing economy, jobs, incomes. We've got very low mortgage rates. We've got demographics supporting housing growth. We've got restricted supply in some places. So it's certainly understandable that the prices would go up some. I don't know whether prices are exactly where they should be, but I think it's fair to say that much of what's happened is supported by the strength of the economy.
Tell me, what is the worst case scenario, sir? We have so many economists coming on our air and saying, oh, this is a bubble and it's going to burst and this is going to be a real issue for the economy. Some say it could even cause a recession at some point. What is the worst case scenario if, in fact, we were to see prices come down substantially across the country?
Well, I guess I don't buy your premise. It's a pretty unlikely possibility. We've never had a decline in house prices on a nationwide basis. So what I think is more likely is that house prices will slow, maybe stabilize, might slow consumption spending a bit. I don't think it's going to drive the...
That's quite impressive that he says this, considering that house prices crashing down were one of the massive causes of the whole financial crisis of 2008.
The economy too far from its full employment path, though.
So would you agree with Alan Greenspan's comments recently that we've got some areas of the country that are seeing froth, not necessarily a national situation, but certainly froth in some areas?
You can see some types of speculation, investors turning over condos quickly. So those sorts of things you see in some local areas. I'm hopeful that, and I'm confident, in fact, that the bank regulators will pay close attention to the kinds of loans that are being made, making sure that underwriting is done right. But I do think that this...
As it turns out, it wasn't done right, I believe. Well, thank you for sending me this series of clips. I've been watching it today. It's very instructive. I mean, what it means is do not trust what the Fed says. I guess that's the lesson I would learn for today's world. But I guess that's a that's something I was already doing, not trusting the Fed. Biden admin to complete more of Trump's border wall project, closing four gaps. See, that Biden is basically doing what Trump would be doing. Maybe you'll argue Trump would complete the full wall. First, I don't know this. Trump had an opportunity to build the full wall and didn't do it. The Biden administration is set to close four wide gaps in the U.S.-Mexico border wall in an open area of southern Arizona near Yuma to address operational impacts and immediate life and safety risks. So basically they're passing it because they know that the wall is really not popular with their voting base. So they're saying, oh, it's to save lives and because it leads to operational issues. Of course, what's the operational issue? It's the fact that you have people passing through these wide holes. And what does that tell me that you want to patch these holes? It tells me that the wall works. The wall works, unlike what the Democrats have been claiming for so long. Why the U.S. is desperate for a Russian oil price cap. International oil prices are set to spike later this year when the EU ban on providing insurance for the transportation of Russian oil takes effect. In order to stop price spiking, the United States is attempting to get major oil importers to endorse a plan to cap the price of Russian oil. While China and India may be tempted to agree to an oil price cap, Russia could retaliate by stopping the export of oil. That's what they should do, because you have the Western powers are playing a game. And they're trying to sell, we're going to punish you, we're not going to let you do this and that. But in the end, they need the oil. And so Russia should use its full leverage on this and say, no, if you put the price cap, you're not getting the oil. John Drake says, Trump didn't have the chance to build the full wall, JF. He was sued and sued and sued. So what? Build the freaking wall. I mean, you're not going to make me believe that a president doesn't have the tools to build a wall with the budget of the government under a Republican administration, a Republican legislature, and Congress. Basically, he had all. he had the control of everything. And if it doesn't work through the Congress, do it like the Democrats do all the time. It's an emergency intervention. Make it about health. There are viruses running around the border, and it's endangering our grandma. And we need to intervene to save grandma. Let us build a wall. Ramsey Paul says, even straight men who occasionally engage in anal sex with other men can get monkeypox. There's a guy saying, I have monkeypox, careful out there. Day 7. It's located on the place a man would least want it to be. Quite uncomfortable, though not super painful yet. It's so new that it feels like even the healthcare people I've dealt with don't really know anything and are minorly afraid of me. At the urgent care, they were treating me like I was patient zero in the movie Heartbreak. Also, it felt pretty awkward telling my jobs and parents, given the fact that it's basically the gay disease in the media, as a usually straight person who dabbles in non-straight sex occasionally, it was pretty awkward to basically at 35 years old be outed by getting this. My mom was throwing out some awkward questions. I can imagine the discussion. I love how this guy, considers himself just a straight person who dabbles in non-straight sex occasionally. You're gay, dude. You're gay, and now you have monkeypox, and now your mother knows it. China's army post get ready for war message on social media. State mouthpiece says PLA has right to intercept Pelosi's plane. Get ready for war read a message posted by China's People Liberation Army, atheist group, over the U.S. visit to Taiwan. Even more escalation here. And Jennifer Zeng was translating the meaning of the Chinese symbols here. She says, because this guy was arguing, they have said ready for action, not preparing for war. But she says, I'd rather translate it as preparing for war. This symbol means prepare, get ready for, and this symbol means war. Of course, it can also mean action, but this is an account of the People's Liberation Army. Of course, if the army of China is saying prepare for action, whether they're saying action or war doesn't matter. They mean war. The action would be war. Bill Clinton sets the record straight on the definition of a recession. While this week's GDP data confirmed that the U.S. is now in a recession, in the Biden administration, in cooperation with its media lab dogs and even the unbiased lads at Wikipedia, has been furiously peddling a Sith mind trick that this is not the recession you're looking for. The Biden administration was redefining recession in an effort to avoid political backlash. What is a recession? While some maintain that two consecutive quarters of falling real GDP constitute a recession, that is neither the official definition nor the way economists evaluate the state of the business cycle. Instead, both official determinations of recessions an economist assessment of economic activity are based on a holistic look. They're using the language of these mineral supplement scam artists. Let me invite you to a more holistic approach to your health. They holistically look at the data, including the labor market, consumer and business spending, industrial production and incomes. Based on these data, it is unlikely that the decline in GDP in the first quarter of this year, even if followed by another GDP decline in the second quarter, indicates a recession. No. And Bill Clinton in 2000 was saying this.
Mr. President, what do you think about a recession?
Well, a recession is two quarters in a row of negative growth. I don't think we're going to have that.
Bill Clinton, back from December 2000, was indicating the true definition of a recession and was saying that we won't have that. Well, now we have this under Joe Biden. Guy from V says, action stations is standard order equivalent to battle stations. Yes, so action or battle or war. Certainly, we understand what the PLA meant here. Slain UCLA student Brianna Kupfer's father is outraged over autopsy report leak because she's a girl who had done absolutely nothing. She was working alone in some place in Los Angeles, and this guy, who's been a serial criminal, somehow was still on the street, was not, of course, prosecuted or in jail for his past crime, and just murdered her and brutalized her. And they say she was brutally murdered, but the father would have liked the autopsy report to remain confidential because it's now open to the public, and the fact that she was stabbed 26 times with a gray and old kitchen knife. Well, I think the public should know these things. The public should know the consequence of leaving dangerous criminals on the street, of not prosecuting, and of showing a tolerance for criminality the way it is done in Democrat places. Weenus Sucker says, love you, JF. Okay, but what is a weenus? And why are you sucking it? But I thank you for your love. I thank you for your appreciation. And as a last news item for tonight, Kremlin expresses solidarity with China, calls Pelosi Taiwan visit a provocation. On Friday, the Kremlin issued a statement expressing solidarity with China amid soaring tensions with the U.S. over Taiwan, especially at the moment Nancy Pelosi is ready to become the first U.S. House Speaker to visit the Democratic-run island in 25 years. Coming just after the Presidents Biden's and Xi Jinping spoke by phone Thursday, wherein the Chinese leader warned the U.S. not to play with fire over the self-ruled island, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said to reporters, certainly we are in solidarity with China. Well, Pelosi has now left for her trip. That was today, I believe, this morning. It's going to be a trip across Asia, and they have neither confirmed nor denied whether they were going to Taiwan. I think what's very possible is that Pelosi is playing with the possibility, but will not go. I don't see why she would go there, given that she could be targeted by missiles. It could lead to a conflict with China. That wouldn't be a very diplomatic action to do. But perhaps, you know, she's in to start a big conflict and to escalate tensions with China, but I don't see what she would gain from doing this. I think that the U.S. under Joe Biden is not interested at provoking China, so I just don't see it happening. DK Shadow says, please go, please go. Yeah, I'll tell you what, in my heart, there is a part of my heart that wants it to happen, just to see if China has balls, because it's one thing to make these threats. We've seen China make threats a lot of times, but it's another thing to send your military jets to escort a Democratic lawmaker of the U.S. out of the territory of Taiwan. I'd love to see it happen, just if they have the balls to do it. But what China was saying is, it was a media guy in China who's working for the state-affiliated media there, And he was saying, what we should do is we send jets, we show warning signals, we ask them to leave the area, and then if they don't leave, we blow them up. That would be an interesting cowboy situation. Like, what would she do? Would she tell her pilot to turn back? I guess that's what she would have to do. I'd love to see it happen. So I personally vote for it to happen and to see if China has the balls to do it. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.